I've wondered this for a long time. I've been to many funerals. I've presided at many funerals. And I don't think anyone has ever told me that they got up the next morning to go to the grave of the person who had died. So why would you go to the tomb so early in the morning? I think it was women's intuition. There was something stirring inside of them. Let's think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, as she might have experienced this painful but incredibly holy time. She's older now. Her temples are gray. As she beholds the crucifixion of her son, one imagines what memories she conjures up as she witnesses his torture. The long ride to Bethlehem, perhaps, a baby's bed made of hay. Fugitives in Egypt, their home in Nazareth, panic in Jerusalem. I thought he was with you, Joseph. And then the morning he came in from his carpentry shop early, his eyes firmer now. John is preaching in the desert. He took off his tulle apron, dusted his hands, and with one long last look, they shared a secret, the full extent of which was too painful for either of them to say out loud. From then on, she was to love her son from a distance, on the edge of a crowd, outside a packed house, on the shore of a sea. Woman, behold your son. His ache for her was from a pain far greater than that of the nails and thorns. And again, with one last silent glance, again they shared a secret. And he said goodbye. Venerable Mary Potter, the foundress of the Little Company of Mary Sisters, said this: "Stand with Mary at the foot of the cross, and with your eyes on Jesus, see what she saw, think what she thought." In our own lives, when a loved one dies, the world seems at first completely out of kilter. Daily rhythms are disrupted. Relationships shift. I'm sure we all know those feelings. Things that seemed important before take a back seat, while other urgent concerns come to the fore. A whole reorientation to life without the physical presence of the loved one is necessary. A whole reorientation of life. In the gospel, we catch a glimpse of how the first disciples of Jesus navigated those difficult days in the aftermath of his death, how they had to construct their lives and meaning anew. At the Easter vigil, we hear the enigmatic ending of Mark's gospel. It captures the bewilderment of those disciples. The figures of Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, who go to the tomb early on Easter morning, bringing spices to anoint Jesus' body. They were bewildered, to be sure. They're startled to see that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, and the heavenly messenger announces that Jesus has been raised. He is not there. They are commissioned to go tell the message to the boys and Peter that he is going ahead of them to Galilee, where they will see him. In a gospel where Jesus repeatedly admonished people not to say who he was, now given free rein, given to proclaim him risen and alive to everyone. Throughout his gospel, Mark builds the suspense with the command, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen." No one can tell the story of Jesus without knowing the whole story, which includes his passion, death, and resurrection. So now they can tell the story. In a gospel where the disciples constantly struggle to understand and often fail, it's tempting to see the women's silence as the final failure. But oh no, a closer look at those Greek words in original translations give us a different understanding of what the women have experienced. When they flee from the tomb, they are seized with trembling, thromos, and bewilderment, ecstasis, terror, and amazement. Wow. The women tremble and are taken outside of themselves in this epiphany experience, this close encounter with the power and the presence of God. The only appropriate response to this is silence, awe, and wonder, truly. Like the women, we are invited into a place of mystery. And as Catholics, we learn a lot about mystery. Mark is a brilliant storyteller. Closing the gospel with the women not saying anything, he invites the reader to finish the story. He is an open book, one that is never concluded. The hearer is asked to go back to Galilee, back to the beginning, to contemplate anew the meaning of all Jesus said and did, and the light of his having been raised. The original ending of Mark's gospel ends in awe and mystery, into which the hearers are invited to enter. The resurrection is just not simply a happily ever after ending or the fulfillment of our expectations. It turns the world on end and defies explanation. It is God's final parable. In another gospel, which we hear on Easter morning, that drives home the question, where is Jesus now? A single character, Mary Magdalene, represents the voice of the community as she seeks her beloved and laments, "We don't know where they have laid him." A gospel that began by reflecting on how the world became flesh and dwelt among us concludes with the word becoming enfleshed in each individual believer and in the whole body of the faith community. This is where he is to be found. And his transformation is completed in our own. It's the only thing that makes sense. His transformation is completed in our own transformation. So take some time in these next days to talk with God honestly and openly about your own life situation, your feelings as you approach the Easter season, and what you need God to teach you or show you about the life that God desires to reveal to you. A very happy Easter to you all.